sermon, not a pilot sermon, but this is a good portion in Luke 23 to talk about Pilate and even evil King Herod. So if you'll come with me to Luke 23, we will reread one verse that we did last time. We'll reread verse 12. I'll give a little bit of a review on Pilate and Herod and make sure we save time to give attention to Jesus. But Luke 23, verse 12 is a good time to mention these two guys, both evil leaders. Now Herod and Pilate became friends with one another that very day, for before they had been enemies with each other. Jesus is mentioned outside the Bible, probably more references than any other Bible character. John the Baptist is. James, Jesus' half-brother, he was born first of a virgin, and then Mary and Joseph had other kids. These are all mentioned outside the Bible. So are a lot of the political leaders that are in the New Testament, including Pontius Pilate and Herod. Pontius Pilate, to review all been found of him, we would call it a building inscription. I see one downtown at the post office whenever I go in, built in when President Jimmy Carter was president. So they found in Caesarea a building inscription, 2 feet by 3 feet. Pontius Pilate, prefect of Judea, has presented a Tiberium, we'd say like a stage, to the Caesareans. So he's mentioned in books, but they also found this inscription about him. One thing about the inscription, it shows that the title used in the New Testament for Pilate was the correct title, prefect. 4 years after Pilate became procurator. There's only 4 years difference when the title changed. So the sign says prefect. The New Testament says prefect. It's right for that time. 4 years later, it changed. That gives an idea not only of the history of the person, but also they're catching their titles and using them correctly. Because later authors use the later title. So we have this inscription. We know that he did not get along with the Jews. I have about 25 Bible coins that are 2,000 years old, and I have two of them of Pilate. He put a sorcerer's staff on one to make the Jews really mad. He has another one where it's like a broth ladle, where you're cooking a sacrifice to the pagan gods and you can dip down in the broth and pull it back up and pour it on the meat. I'm not sure he believed that stuff. We have a reference to that later. I'm not sure he believed that stuff, but he really liked to make fun of the Jews and put pagan stuff on his coin. He stopped this really tough anti-Semitic stuff about AD 31. That's when his probable friend in Rome who got them a governor's job was executed. Now, makes sense. They had been enemies, and now, oh, golly, his friend in Rome got executed. And switches. Changes the coins. Switches here, verse 12. They had been enemies, trying to make friends. Pilate is in the inscription. He's also in a Roman author called Tacitus. One sentence about Pilate says that the Roman government allowed the governor's wives to go with him on trips. Evidently, it was safe enough for someone who lived in Rome to go live in Caesarea. And Pilate's wife, Mrs. Pilate, Procula, that's like Middle Ages. We don't really know her name for sure, but like Middle Ages. Writing in Tacitus says the governor's wives would go along with him. More specifically, it says that, quote, Christ had been executed in Tiberius' reign by the governor of Judea, Pontius Pilate. So reference to Jesus, reference to Pontius Pilate. A second author, Philo, he lived in Alexandria, Egypt, but he was Jewish. He talks about how Pilate didn't get along with the Jews and the Jews didn't like him. He, quote, "The Jews exasperated Pilate to the greatest possible degree. He feared lest they go on an embassy to the emperor and impeach him." I'm sort of reading all this out of the Bible stuff to show we know. You could write a whole book on Pilate. We know all kinds of things out of him, out of the Bible. But he was afraid they were going to send a delegation to Rome and he would lose his job. And that kind of fits where he gives in on the death penalty for Jesus. He had brought what we would call metal banners into Jerusalem, shields, but they engraved a picture of the Caesar on them. When he first moved there, he brought them into Jerusalem, and all the Jews were mad. "You cannot have graven images in our city near this temple." For 6 days they rioted. He got his army together and said, "I'm going to kill you all," and they did this. Go ahead. So he gave up, and he took the picture of Caesar out of Jerusalem. And he was worried that that would make Caesar mad, being insulting to him. Later, after removing the shields, they wanted drinking water. He took money out of the temple treasury and built an aqueduct. And the Jews got really mad at him for this too, because they're taking money out of the temple treasurer to build an aqueduct and bring water in. They had been enemies. I mean, this is a lot of, we know a lot about Pilate, and we know a lot about Herod. They had been enemies. And so verse 12 is very historically accurate. Herod sent a letter with four other Jewish leaders signing it, attacking Pilate. They had been enemies, and the Caesar wrote back and told Pilate, "You get along with the Jews." So that's where the trial of Jesus comes from. And what's happening here is, we had Ken read it out of John 19, that if you don't kill Jesus, you are not a friend of Caesar. And that switched it. The friend of Caesar was a group. We would call the friends of Caesar, we would use the phrase now, the Political Action Committee. And there literally was a group called the Friends of Caesar. And they said, if you let him go, you're not a friend of Caesar, and we're going to send another delegation. And when he heard that, that's it. That's where it changes. So Herod and Pilate had been enemies, and now they get along better. But he's afraid that they're going to tell the emperor he's not in the friends of Caesar category, and that's when it switches. That's when it changed. This all historically fits exactly what we know about Pilate and Herod, and we know a lot more. They do know quite a bit. They will quit. You can write whole books on Herod Antipas. You can write whole books on Pontius Pilate. Now we continue, verse 13. Pilate summoned the chief priests and the rulers of the people. He said to them, "You brought this man to me as one who incites the people to rebellion. And having examined him before you, I have found no guilt," King James, "fault. I have found no fault or guilt in this man regarding the charges you make against him. No, nor has Herod, for he sent him back to us, and behold, done nothing deserving of death has been done by him. Therefore, I will punish him and release him." Pilate, in the previous section, having learned that Herod was in town for the Passover, had sent Jesus over to him. Luke is the only book that says this. And then in verse 15, there's a reference also to the crowd. "I find no fault. Herod, who was of the Jewish religion, he found no fault, you should let him go. So what we have in the Gospel of John is a longer conversation than we have here in Luke 23. Pilate was going inside his house, and then he was going out to the crowd. Remember, the Jews in the Gospel of John would not go inside his house. They might be unclean for the Passover. Remember why? Romans did abortions. There may have been a dead baby in that house that was murdered. That's the actual reason they would not go inside the governor's palace in Jerusalem. And the other thing is, it would make us unclean. Now, they could be cleaned in about a week and do ceremonies to get it fixed, but it wouldn't be time to have the Passover. That's another kind of historical thought here. Jesus already had a Passover. Jesus and the apostles already had the Passover on Thursday night. Now, the chief priest, we can't go inside Pilate's house because we can't have the Passover on Friday, starting at 3 o'clock. We slaughter the lamb right when Jesus dies on the cross. And this fits what we know of the Passover is so many hundreds of thousands of people came to Jerusalem for the Passover that the Galileans had it on Thursday night. And Jesus already had the Passover. But the chief priests and the Judeans had not yet had it, and they would have it on Friday, starting right when Jesus would be killed. So Pilate, I still think he might have been insulted. He had to go outside. I don't know whether they had to wake him up. I don't know whether he had to miss breakfast. He had to go outside and set up his judgment seat. Bema is the Greek word. Sometimes with the judgment seat of Christ in the end time, it gets called the Bema seat. That's the original. Same word for Pilate. He had to set up this seat. He gets a message from Mrs. Pilate. I have had nightmares over this guy. Leave him alone. That's not going to fix it. Luke 23 leaves out a lot of the conversation we have here. I'd like to go ahead and kind of review it out of John 18. You'll remember it. John 18, Pilate said, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." "So you are a king," said Pilate. "You said it. I am a king. Everyone who is of truth hears my voice." So he's like the king of truth. Still not guilty of political insurrection. "Pilate, what is truth?" That line makes me wonder if he really believed in the sorcerer's staff he put on their coins. They really, really believed in the pagans and the pagan magic, because very skeptical and snide. What is truth? So, John 19, 38, what is truth? And he went outside again to say, "I find no fault in him." And we keep reading, they're going to find a third time in verse 22. So he kept saying, "I find no fault in him." He mentions Herod, that's only in Luke. There was a trial before Herod, but it was only in Luke, and he mentions Herod again, that your leader, who is Jewish, said they find no fault in him about breaking your laws. So verse 16, "I will beat him and release him." The law of Moses limited beating to 40 stripes. And they were very careful about this. The way they would do it, they had three straps, and they would only let them do it 13 times. That was their way of knowing we didn't hit 40. The most it would be is three straps and 13 times. That's Jewish. But Romans had different whips. And they would tie bones to the ends of them. Jagged bones that'll rip up everything. And it doesn't say how many times they hit him, but it does say he wanted to look so bad they'd feel sorry for him. How much ever it takes, beat him so bad that he will look sorry and they will let him go. Several of the old texts do not have verse 17. In my English Bible, it's in brackets. I looked at the Greek New Testament. There's one that has it about AD 300, and then there's a whole lot of them that doesn't. So it could be Luke didn't have that he had to release a prisoner at the Passover feast, but of course the other Gospels do have it, that the reason he offered them Barabbas was it was a Passover feast, time to let somebody go. We have that now. We have presidential pardons. I hear Governor Abbott is thinking about a pardon. Pilate could pardon. You want Barabbas or you want Jesus? After they beat Jesus all up. Now, Barabbas, it says here he was a murderer. It says in the Gospel of Mark he was a murderer. The Gospel of John uses the phrase a violent robber. Doesn't say murder, but they had more than one word for robber, kleptase, kleptomania, that came down in the English. That just means pilfering stuff. Go get a candy bar. But Barabbas was a violent robber in John, notorious robber in Matthew, murderer in Mark and Luke, and they cried for Barabbas to be relieved. He offered to punish him again. Verse 22, a third time. And no guilt in him. It talks about putting a robe on him soon and beating him again. The robe actually came from Herod at that part of the trial. Only in Luke. The robe came from Herod. The other Gospels talk about it being purple or red. So we get to this point, and Pilate is a very good politician. In the phrase that we read out of John, if you let him go, you are not a friend of Caesar. We have already sent a delegation there with letters about the shields with the image of Caesar on it. You back down. And Caesar wrote you a letter telling you to get along with us. And if you don't kill Jesus, we are going to send another delegation. And you are not going to be in the Friend of Caesar Political Action Committee. It is also likely that the Roman person just executed was a friend of Pilate. And maybe got Pilate his job. And the Roman person just executed was very anti-Semitic. So the Jews are threatening, we're going to send another delegation to Caesar. Tell him you're not his friend. And tell him that you're very anti-Semitic, like the person in Rome that he just executed. So despite Mrs. Pilate's dream and all that, that was the end. He was afraid of being, as we would say, impeached. Also that word, I don't know the Greek word without looking it up, but Philo in Alexandria, Egypt, said Pilate was afraid of being impeached by the Jews. Not written in here, but written in the Gospel of John. He washed his hands and he said, I am innocent of this man's blood. We have in Matthew, his blood be on us and on our children. Wow. Because coming in the next section, coming is thinking about the destruction of the temple in the city in AD 70, where Jesus will also here tell the daughters of Jerusalem, you be afraid. So they had screamed, your blood be on us and on our children. We will take responsibility for your murder. Among the heavens, and Jesus had already warned them that their city would be destroyed. Which we'll read shortly, but first we have Simon of Cyrene carrying the cross. Verse 26. When they led him away, they seized a man, Simon of Cyrene, coming in from the country and placed on him the cross to carry behind Jesus. Well, probably just the crossbar. Maybe the poles were always standing out there at the execution site. And it does say it was outside the city limits. Book of Hebrews say, let's go outside with him, outside the camp. So if you want to be an outsider, be a Christian. Jesus died outside the city. If you want to be an outsider, trust in him as Savior. The poles probably already stood out there all the time, and he's carrying the crossbeam. But of course, he's been beat as many as three times. He just falls over. So they, we'd say, impress. Simon the Cyrene, you have to carry the cross. He'll walk before you. It is historically true. The Romans could grab a citizen. Cyrene is what we would call Libya today. Now, he may have moved from Libya and lived in Jerusalem, or he may have been in town for the Passover at this time, and the Romans grab him. We had mentioned Jesus is outside the Bible, John the Baptist is outside the Bible, James is outside the Bible, maybe Simon of Cyrene. In 1941, they found an ossuary, we would say a bone box. We would put a person's bones in it. Well, not very much fun, but they would let them decay for a few years, and they would put their bones in a small box. Found one in 1941 that says, Alexander of Cyrene, son of Simon. Now, Mark 15:41 does give Simon's sons, and one of them is Alexander. And they found this in Jerusalem. Was it his ossuary? Most likely, says one Roman historian. Very suggestive, says another. It fits. So you might have another person named in the Bible who is outside the Bible. Simon carried the cross. Jesus staggered in front of him. Women were following. That's the next section. I'll just say a little bit and then we'll read the next section. Dr. Luke has more ladies and children in his books than other authors do. So it's one of his characteristics. Maybe a medical doctor would be that way. He likes to give us children's stories and ladies' stories. That's kind of why when you do the Christmas story in Matthew, it's Joseph. In Mark, it's Mary. In Luke, it's Mary. Luke likes to put ladies' stories in it. That's the beginning of the Bethlehem story in Luke 2. In Luke 8, he mentioned three ladies that were following Jesus around and gave him money. In the book of Acts, which he also wrote, Luke mentions Dorcas or Tabitha, and Peter will raise her to life, but they were passing around all the garments that she had sewn. First lady saved in Europe was named Lydia. Over and over, Luke, when he writes the book of Acts, talks about Priscilla and Aquila. So it does seem a characteristic. So that when we read verses 27, on the way to the cross, the women were following, and only Luke has that. He's the one that has it. Let's look at that much, verse 27 through 32. And following him was a large crowd of people and of women who were mourning and lamenting him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, stop weeping for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, Blessed are the barren and those wombs who never wore and the breasts that never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things, when a tree is green, what will happen when it is dry? Then I added verse 32, two others also who were criminals were being led away to be put to death with him. Well, only Luke has Herod. Only Luke has this story about the women of Jerusalem following and crying on the way. Only Luke has these quotes from Jesus giving them a warning about AD 70. Lots of warnings about Jesus about AD 70 when the temple will be destroyed and the city will be destroyed. And there really are a lot of them in the writing of Luke. Palm Sunday is in all the Gospels, but in Luke 19 on Palm Sunday, it says Jesus was crying when he went up the ridge and he could turn and go see the city. It says he started crying and weeping for Jerusalem, for it says, "You do not know the day." They didn't know the day when Jesus was the Messiah, when he was at the time of his first visitation. They did not know the day, and they did not know the day coming. It says, he said, when your enemies will throw up a barricade against you, surround you on every side, they will level you to the ground, and unfortunately, and your children. Not one stone left upon another, AD 70. So, only in Luke, this crying on Palm Sunday, the city's going to be destroyed. Luke 21:20. It is also very clear that when you see the army surrounding a city, get out. Church historian Eusebius said that they remembered Jesus' warnings and they went to Pella. So they remembered Luke 21:20 and got out. So we have Luke 19, Luke 21. Now here at Luke 23, only here, ladies are crying on the way while he's walking to the cross, or we could say staggering to the cross after his beating. And he says, the days are coming when you won't be crying for me. He's going to rise again. He's going to go up at the right hand of God and co-rule. But you can stop crying for me. You can cry for what's coming with AD 70. And there's been warning after warning after warning. Among the things he will say on the cross, coming in the next section for next week, today you will be with me in paradise. So he was going to die. All who believed in him were going to go to paradise. He told the ladies, you can stop crying over this. Among the things that we have learned today looking at this, there's a lot about Herod and Pilate outside the Bible. They're very historical figures. And we know a lot about them. And what's being said in Luke and Matthew especially fits the times. They had been enemies. But the Caesar told them, get along with the Jews. After the Jews sent his delegation. Get along with the Jews. So Jesus, Pilate sends Jesus over here. Tries to make friends with him. Also, you get in the trial, when they get to the point, you are no friend of Caesar. He felt that was a threat to send another delegation to say that he had not obeyed Caesar's letter to get along with the Jews. So he just plain gives in, washes his hands of it. You yourself are guilty of this man's blood. The daughters follow him out there. Later in the Gospel of John, Mother Mary is out there. Her name is not here that she was following the cross all the way out there. Can't say that for certain, but somehow she will get out there. And one of the sayings of the cross, he will tell the Apostle John, writing this book of John, he will say, now she's your mother. So we have got Herod and Pilate research, and we've got Jesus and carrying the cross. We have him out to the site, and then we'll kind of have like a Good Friday sermon next time and communion. Will the musicians please come?